Coming up in this podcast, Australian dollar and commodities, blockchain technology, contract wins and deals, IMDEX's expansion and franchising.
Welcome to Mark My Words, the weekly podcast from Business News, with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer discussing the important business news and data stories from Western Australia.
Welcome to our weekly podcast. Mark, an exciting week in the markets. A lot of important numbers for WA have gone up, but we've also seen a major crash in Bitcoin.
Well, let's start off by focusing on the real markets. Aussie dollar spent most of the week pushing up against 80 US cents. Haven't seen it up at those levels for quite some time. So, you know, tough for internationally competing industries, but yep, very good for travellers. And you know, generally an indicator of a solid economy. The iron ore price, that's also been very solid, up around 76 US dollars. Once again, hasn't been at these levels for quite a few months. So that's good for export values out of the Pilbara. And the gold price, up around a four-month high, above 1,300 US dollars, about 1,340. So you know, gold's a big industry in Western Australia, quite a few projects under development. So, you know, all of these sorts of numbers. And it's nice that it hasn't been this sort of volatile sort of jumping around. You know, it seems quite solid, so all encouraging.
And any thoughts on what other things are driving the Aussie dollar?
Well, there's always that, you know, uncertainty globally, yeah, which encourages people to sort of focus on commodities, and we're a commodity-driven economy. So, you know, that helps gold. But yeah, I think generally that pretty positive outlook for commodities, you know, iron ore, nickel, LNG is sort of picking up a bit. So
yeah, and I guess there's a bit of Trump stuff going on in the US, pushing the US dollar. You know, it's fundamentally that we forget about that, don't we?
Yes, bit of a challenge to analyse the connection between Donald Trump and markets.
Yeah,
that's beyond me.
Agreed. And the Bitcoin side of things.
Yeah, well, look, why I think this is interesting, you know, there was that absolutely crazy spike in the value of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. And then in the last week or two, you know, there's been an equally spectacular crash. Prices have fallen big time. There's been a regulatory crackdown, certainly in some international markets. And in Australia, people have been sort of quite dismissive of Bitcoin having any real value. So against that backdrop, I found it was interesting to focus on a Perth business that's actually doing something real using blockchain technology.
Yeah.
And that's Powerledger, a business that was founded by Gemma Green, who, amongst other things, 40 Under 40 award winner, mm-hmm, and Deputy Lord Mayor, and a former investment banker from London, a great advocate for sustainability and renewable energy, and pulled all those things together in the Powerledger business, which it uses technology to enable households to trade surplus power coming off the solar panels on their roof,
right,
amongst each other.
Yeah, it's ingenious, right?
Yeah.
Getting into that kind of thing. And so tell us a bit about, you know, how they're getting a bit of prominence.
Well, they've raised about $34 million mm-hmm, through what they call their initial coin offering, which is essentially, you know, tokens that allow you to trade surplus power back and forth.
Okay.
There's an international...
So that's the same as Bitcoin, right, in a way?
But applied in a very
but
real...
But it has a real backing. Yeah,
that's right.
Of course.
So they've gone into an international competition, the Extreme Technology Challenge, mm-hmm, which is backed by Richard Branson. And Powerledger has been selected as one of three finalists in this global competition for breakthrough technology businesses. Mm. So a big tick for some people in Perth doing something that's getting global attention.
Yeah, no, and they're getting a lot of attention here and much talked about Powerledger. Now, Mark, there's been a fair bit of deals activity and contract activity across the board, really. Tell us some of the better stuff that's been going on the last week or so.
Yeah. So EC&M. Now, not a name that a lot of people in Perth will be familiar with. They're an electrical contracting business, privately held, not on the stock market. But they came out and told us that they've won contracts recently worth $130 million around the country. So, you know, it's just really nice to see a mid-sized, they've got 800 staff around the country.
Yep.
So, you know, if you like, the quiet achievers, people out there that are out there winning work, creating jobs, and nationally. So Evolution Mining, they're doing a big upgrade of their Cowal mine in New South Wales. So the folks at EC&M have teamed up with another Perth business, CPC Engineering, and they've won the contract to do a very substantial upgrade there. They're doing work at HMAS Stirling on Garden Island, doing work for Tianqi Lithium down at Kwinana. They're working on a big road tunnel project in Sydney. So, you know, I thought just a really nice, positive, encouraging story about WA businesses winning work around the country. Now, of course, the flip side of a competitive open market is that sometimes people from out of the state come in and pick up work.
No, heavens above. It's not allowed. It's not allowed.
So, yeah, a new name for the WA market, or at least a new name for the last decade, NACAP. They're a contracting business out of Melbourne. They won the contract to build the 200-kilometre pipeline, gas pipeline, to the Gruyere gold mine that Gold Road Resources is currently developing.
Right, at Laverton.
That's right, out at Laverton. So, you know, the latest of quite a few gold projects that are tapping into gas supplies. Mm-hmm. So there's sort of a growing network of pipelines throughout back Western Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, a reliable, cost-effective, relatively clean source of energy for gold projects, and generally a lot better than the diesel that used to be used a lot of the time.
Well, a lot more efficiently delivered once you build the pipeline. Sorry, did you say how much that pipeline was worth?
Do 200 kilometres long. Yeah. I don't have a dollar figure.
We don't have a dollar figure. Okay, no. I was just wondering. It'd be a fair project, though.
Yeah. So very substantial.
Yeah, no, brilliant. Slightly different kind of contract, or not really a contract, a deal, MACA?
Yeah. MACA is the main mining contractor for Blackham, which is... had some operational issues at their gold mine project, and because of that they've had some trouble servicing their debt. So they're in the midst of raising some new capital and refinancing, and the key backer has turned out to be their contractor, MACA.
Mm.
And, you know, second time round, it has sort of reminiscent of what happened with Atlas Iron up in the Pilbara. When they got squeezed, they were on the brink of going bust, but they got together with all of their contractors and suppliers and said, well, look, what can we do here? You know, let's be a bit more flexible with our contracting approach. Let's put a bit of new money in. Let's refinance our debt. Atlas Iron is still going.
Yeah.
Employing a lot of people up there.
That's a remarkable story. And David Flanagan, who, you know, was... chairman, was he executive chairman at that stage, but he pulled that deal together, and he talks about being in the room and that happening, and I think it was MACA and BGC, I think, were the two biggest contractors who came to the party on that one. I think it's podcasted somewhere, but his words in that, the passion and it just sounds like one of the most amazing deals, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, and once again, with Blackham, Milan Jukovic, he was non-executive chairman. He's sort of now in there on a day-to-day executive role. He's sort of really driving the efforts that they're making. So, you know, they're in the midst now, working with Hartleys, looking to raise some new capital, refinance the debt. So it's encouraging, and let's hope they get that finalised so that they can sort out their issues and have a long-term future.
And some good commodity prices won't hurt.
Absolutely.
And look, another interesting deal out there is IMDEX buying a New Zealand business, or a global business to bring that's based in New Zealand to bring into their global business, if I read that one correctly.
Well, look, yeah, I think IMDEX to me is a great example. People talk about the METS sector, so mining, equipment, technology and services. So these are all the, if you like, the smart companies that do clever things off the back of the mining industry in Western Australia. And IMDEX is one of, I think, a relatively small group that have established a really solid global presence. Now, they're a world leader in mining and drilling sort of technologies and equipment. And this latest deal that they've announced, buying FlexiDrill. Now, FlexiDrill's in New Zealand. They've developed some very promising technology. Now, they've got limited capability of taking it to a global market. So IMDEX have come along and said, well, look, we've got that global capability. And Bernie Ridgway, I was having a chat to him, and he's talked about the fact that globally there haven't been major improvements in productivity in drilling, in mining exploration for donkey's years. And he's really hopeful that by bringing in this new technology to their existing technology suite, he'll be able to achieve some really significant productivity improvements. So I certainly hope that's the case.
Sorry, when we're talking drilling there, are we talking offshore drilling or are we talking mining drilling?
Mining,
Really, no change in technology. I thought they had, you know, things on the end of drill bits, and I thought lots of stuff had changed. That's intriguing. Yeah. Maybe it's a picture you get. Funny, isn't it?
Bernie's closer to the action.
Yeah, and, no, I accept that. I do accept
that. Yeah. And so what I think is interesting here is that we've had a long history in Western Australia of lots of clever research coming out of universities and research institutes, lots of great technology, but very few companies sort of go on to become or to successfully commercialise the technology while still being based in Perth. And IMDEX is one of them. And there's a few others out there. So, you know, mining software, Perth's been a big city in a global context. So, you know, Micromine is one of the few companies that's still locally controlled.
Yeah. All the rest have got bought out, haven't
they? Yeah. Immersive Technologies. Now, they're a global leader in creating training simulators for the mining industry. You know, they're around the world and still based out at Osborne Park. RCT used to be called Remote Control Technologies. So, you know, I think there's a few really good examples there of where Perth businesses are taking it globally, and IMDEX is definitely one of them, and would love to see more of them.
Yeah, no. And look, and there are lots and lots of businesses of that kind of nature who have got a global presence. They're based here, and I guess really it comes down to quite often the founders of those businesses have to want to live here, and or the people who manage have to want to live here and run it out of here and have the smarts to do so globally, because I think that's a challenge. And I guess the ones you've all named there tend to have some sort of linkage to mining because there's plenty of work here, so it's a good hub and a good place. But there are some others that are in less obvious sectors, but I admire them, and I do think that over time you do see when the founder reaches the end, typically they get sold on to someone globally. So it's great to see some businesses that perhaps have some more longevity.
And I'll acknowledge it's really tough yards taking something to a global market from such an isolated city like Perth. You know, remote from the base of investors and remote from most of your customers. So those that
like I say, you really got to want to do it.
That's right, yeah.
You've got to have good reasons to live here, which we do. Now, Mark, our feature this week, Matt McKenzie has written about franchising. What has he found out?
Yeah, well, look, this is the feature comes off the back of a lot of the data that we collect. So it's part of our BNIQ search engine, which people can find on our website. Just hit the BNIQ tab, and one of the lists you'll find there is for franchises in Western Australia. So you'll find data there on dozens of franchises, from the very big ones, you know, like gyms, you know, Jim's Mowing, Jim's Gardening.
Yeah.
They've got about 300 franchises in WA.
And let's be clear about it, it's ranked on number of franchises rather than the revenue per franchise or anything, correct?
That's right. Yes. So, you know, there are some cleaning franchises that are quite prolific, Cleantastic and Jenny King. They've both got about 180 franchises in WA. Subway, 150 or thereabouts.
Is that right?
Baker's Delight, nearly 80. So, yeah, lots of food and lots of personal finance franchises and many others.
And personal services or services.
Yeah. So Matt's been out talking to a lot of people in this space, and he's found quite a few that are positive about growth prospects in Western Australia, and they've mapped out their broad sort of growth intentions for the WA market. So, you know, Zambrero's, the sort of takeaway food chain, they've got quite ambitious growth plans. Baker's Delight, Bucking Bull, little sort of food cafes, Smartline Mortgage Advisors. Now, that's a group that's won many awards over the years for being a well-run franchise. They're looking to grow. And some new ones that are coming into the market. So Resolve Finance. Now, that's owned by ABN Group, Dale Alcock's home building business.
Yeah.
So they've got this little finance arm, and they're now looking at the potential to franchise that. So, and in fact, over the past year or so, we've written quite a few stories about businesses where they see franchising as a big opportunity. So, you know, a good sort of analysis from Matt. He's also talked about some of the sort of workplace relations and regulatory issues that people encounter in this franchising space. And he's also got quite a detailed case study on success tax professionals and the things that they're doing to try and build. They've got quite a substantial franchise network as well.
Okay.
So a good wrap-up on what's going on in the world of franchising.
Oh, well, I look forward to reading all that. Fantastic. Thank you. And as Mark mentioned, have you tried our BNIQ search engine? Our database is huge and has information you can't find anywhere else. It's behind our paywall and available only to our subscribers. But if you'd like to have a demonstration or a trial, just let us know by calling our subscriptions department. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mark My Words with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer from Business News. For more information, please go to businessnews.com.au/podcasts. And to receive these regularly, search for Business News WA in iTunes or SoundCloud.